May it please the Court.
Nice to see you. It's been a while.
It's a pleasure to be here, Your Honor. The Board's first principal error in this case was in adopting under the broadest reasonable interpretation standard the narrow construction of configured to construction, even though the permissive claim language here suggests the broad capable of construction.
How do you distinguish this case from Gianelli?
Your Honor, Gianelli is like this case only that it's an adapted to case and has handles. The court
and we construed it narrowly.
Well, that's correct. What Albritton argues is that Gianelli said that the spec, like here, states the location of the handle components relative to the other components are sufficient to perform the functions. That's very different than what we have here. In Gianelli, the claim recited that function, but it also recited those handles and then had a limitation about the travel between those two handles being in a linear path. What the court did is it went to the specification and looked and found the structure expressly recited that enabled those two handles to move from one position to another in that linear path. So Gianelli held that those positional relationships between the handle and the first and second lever arms and the resistance mechanism, the court said that is the structure that makes this device adapted to perform that recited function.
Yeah.
Okay? So it adopted the narrow construction. Then the court went on to say that the obviousness analysis should consider whether it would have been obvious to modify the structure of the prior art device to achieve the structure that was so adapted to. In other words, it was comparing structure to structure. But here, it's very different. We don't have any disclosure in this specification of what is required structurally to meet these functional limitations.
Well, why don't we look at the specification?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not that long.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
So I guess it's probably always the case that there's something you can point to and something your friends on the other side can point to. So what's your best? Is it the adapted to permit, configured to allow? Is that on your side or is that on their side?
Well, all of them are on our side. It's the adapted to limitation. The board treated claim one as exemplary. So let's go to claim one.
Yes.
Where we have, first there is the configured to allow limitation, which allows a position of the guide catheter to be controlled by some or all of the three fingers. And that just tells
you. Three fingers of one hand.
One hand, that's correct. And that just tells you how the user can basically hold it. Where the rubber meets the road is in the adapted to permit limitation, where it says, in addition to holding it with these one or more of these three fingers of the hand, it's adapted to permit the operator to manipulate the working device with the thumb and index finger. And this is in column 6, starting at line 5. And then also...
Wait. Okay. Adapted to permit the operator to position a thumb and index finger of the hand.
That's correct.
Now, does that refer to the prior hand?
Yes.
So it's the same hand?
Same hand.
Okay. Keep going.
Okay. Via a portion of the working device immediately adjacent to the handle opening and to control. So it's adapted to manipulate and it's adapted to control the suction. So we've got here the three limitations, the position limitation, we've got the manipulation limitation, and we've got the suction limitation. And those are all expressed in permissive language, to permit, to control, to allow, that to be done. And so it's this permissive language that is the first and most important way to distinguish Gianelli. Gianelli had a specific structure to do something so that when the operator pushed, because of the structural relationship between the elements, it resulted in a certain result. And that function was that you would push between one handle and another, and you would get that linear path. This is not like that. This does not refer to the relationship between structures of the accused device. What this refers to is the relationship between, on the one hand, the structure, and how the operator uses it. So that's why the board's first error here was in broadly construing this by basically reading out. It said, this case is controlled by Gianelli. But Gianelli had some big differences. And the first big difference is Gianelli didn't have the permit and allow language, which is very permissive. There's other issues with Gianelli as well.
Well, wouldn't the opposite of permit be prevent?
No, in this case, the opposite of permit is to do. And so, in other words, instead of just permissive.
Well, okay. So, in effect, what you're saying is when a surgeon is doing surgery with this and using this device, it would mandate that he do something with the device as he's doing his operation.
Is that? What it would show is that's the way that the device is used.
So if we took out the permissive language, the configured to or all this permissive language, and instead it just said, for instance, it is controlled by some or all of three fingers of one hand. It is, not configured to, it is. Does that make the limitation to one hand?
No. It makes the limitation so that the use would be one hand, but that doesn't end the claim construction analysis here. The one thing that Aspects and Man-Machine and Gianelli all made clear is that what the court has to do is look in construing these claim limitations not only to the language of the particular configured to or adapted to language, but the entire limitation, the entire claim, and the entire specification.
So what would they have had? I mean, tell us the language. What would they have had to have said? Would they have had to say the negative and we do not cover more than one hand?
No.
What would be sufficient in your view?
What you do is you take the claim language and then, like Gianelli did, you go to the specification to see what did the patentee mean by this language. And there can be a number of different constructions to this. And this court actually has five different lines.
Okay, so you're saying the claim language that we've been talking about for the past 4 minutes isn't dispositive of anything then.
That's correct.
So you're saying, okay, we haven't disposed of it by looking at the claim language, so now let's move on to the spec.
That's correct.
So tell me what in the spec disposes of it in a way that includes more than one hand.
Okay. In the specification, that supports the broad construction, and in fact requires the broad construction, because it discloses a handle structure, again, that merely allows for performance of the recited function.
Well, that's just repeating the claim language. That's not anything different than saying this claim language is broad and permissive. Is there anything specific that limits it or doesn't limit it to one hand?
Yes, and what the board did was it looked at page appendix 15. So if we go to page appendix 15, and what the board said, this was the structure that is necessary or required to perform the claimed functions. So the board in its analysis at page 15.
I'm not really interested in looking at the board's analysis. I want you to point me in the specification, something that supports your construction that it can mean more than one hand.
Well, we cited eight examples of permissive language.
Is that just repeating the permissive language from the claims?
Correct. And then what we did...
What else? Is there anything else than the permissive language of the claims? Because I'm with you. If all we had was the claim language and this permissive language and it didn't actually tie it down, my problem is I look at the patent, and it definitely is not a long patent, and under summary, the first sentence is, this disclosure provides an apparatus, system, and method for manipulating a surgical catheter and working device with a single hand. It doesn't say capable of being used by a single hand. It says with a single hand. And then when we look back at that claim language, it's also, at least the first time, says single hand.
And everything else that follows, the bottom of what the board cited to is the bottom of paragraph, column 4, three paragraphs in 5, we're talking about one hand throughout
right.
the entire specification.
And what all of those descriptions are is functional descriptions or non-limiting descriptions instead of saying this is the structure. The board was very clear in conceding at the appendix 9 and 10 spanning that what it was the specification's figures that actually disclosed the corresponding structure. Uh-huh. Remember, let's take a step back here. What is going on in this case? Like the Supreme Court said in Halliburton, what the patent owner has done here is choose to use conveniently functional language at the point of novelty. So they're using functional language at the point of novelty. And this court has come up with a number of different ways to try to deal with that, number of different lines of cases. And what this court did is it went to the Aspects man-machine Gianelli line of cases to decide whether this was capable of or the much more narrower standard. And in all those cases where they found that the narrow standard applied, they found that there was a structural relationship that they would then that would identify how this was adapted to. If you look at the disclosure in the specification, it simply says you can, for example, size the handle so that it performs these functions. It identified an angle between 0 and 90 degrees, but that's not limiting.
I'm not sure I follow this argument.
Okay.
It seems to me that even if it's phrased in purely functional terms, if it's clear from the specification and the claims all read together, which we have to do, that this invention is limited to use by a single hand, then that's relevant, whether it's in functional language or not, or whether the prior art discloses only one hand, when this is only one hand.
With all due respect, that's flat out wrong. This claim is directed to specific functional limitations, and it is those limitations that should be read upon the prior art. And the question is, do we construe them broadly as capable of or narrowly under this standard, and in order to construe them narrowly.
Can you
your problem is that the board, for example, at 9, says the specification explains, when they're rejecting your argument, that the user holds handle 350, and then after certain fingers, using certain fingers, while the forefinger and thumb are left free to manipulate a working device into the opening 318, and so on. It's actually directly tied to the device.
We're not suggesting, Your Honor, that the point of this patent is not that it be used one-handed. We've conceded that. Our position is that these claim limitations at issue.
But what they're responding to is your argument that the specification fails to identify any particular structure that allows / permits the handle be used in the claimed manner.
What we're saying is different, Your Honor. It's more subtle, and it's applied to the Aspects man-machine Gianelli cases. The standard there is, does the disclosure describe structure that is required to perform the recited function? And we say, no, the specification doesn't describe that because, as the board said twice, necessary or required. No, it says you may do this, you may do this, you may do this. The only structure, the only place where the structure appeared is in the example of figures 3 through 15. And there is no case from this court or any others that I have seen where a mere example can define what a functional statement is. The courts have all looked at this to say, Is there a structure that enables this functional relationship? And if so, what we're going to do is compare it.
Why don't you let your opposing counsel explain that? Because you're leaving it. That's an interesting. Now you're gonna hear her say what the patent says.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court. I'm Ashley Moore, representing Dr. Albritton.
Would you go right to that?
Yes, if you would repeat your question, Your Honor, so
I
can address it.
I'm just saying, I'm not repeating a question. I want you to discuss what your opposing counsel just said about the failure to have any description within the patent and just relying on the illustrations.
Your Honor.
Fire away.
So the specification, it does disclose, and it is supporting the narrow construction. We have a specification that describes the size and the position of the handle relative to other components. And this is just like the Gianelli aspects in man-machine interface cases. We have figures 3 to 6. Of course, we have figures, as most patents do, that describe exemplary handle structures that show the size and position of each of the components of the handle relative to other components. We also have the related descriptions from figures 3 to 6 that go into the detail of the one-handed three fingers, the middle, the ring, and the pinky finger that grip the handle, and then the thumb and index finger being in close proximity to the handle opening. Those are things that are claimed in the claims themselves and, of course, are described in figures 3 to 6 and in the specification. We have a specification site that describes concavities to grip the handle with the claimed middle ring and pinky fingers. That's at Appendix 127, Column 3, Lines 62 through 65. We have protrusions on the handle that aid the grip. That's on the same page at 365 through 67. We have the relative location of the handle opening on the handle itself.
So you think all of this evidence is sufficient to show that what I think you would admit is pretty broad language about configured to and all that like, which would normally not be limiting in the way you would say it is, but the structure you're doing it suggests that it actually can only be used by one hand, not that it's just configured to be used by one hand.
So we agree with the narrow construction that it is configured to, made to, designed to be used by one hand and not simply capable of being used by one hand. That's the very meaning of the fingers of one hand and then the thumb and index finger of the hand, the antecedent basis.
But don't the terms in the claim, starting with the claim, configured to allow and adapted to permit, suggest the opposite result, the different result, the capable of, that's broader?
No, Your Honor. So in each of the Gianelli aspects and man-machine interface cases, we had this very dichotomy. What does the word adapted to mean? And it can either mean configured to.
Yeah, but the problem here is I think the board didn't look at the whole phrase, and that was, I think, a little bit of error. Because it's not just adapted to. It's adapted to permit. It's configured to allow. And even if you normally think of adapted to do something as specific, when it's followed by a permissive term like allow or permit, it seems to me that a traditional BRI look would not make that mandatory but permissive.
So I would disagree. So in the aspects case, that claim language at issue, the adapted to claim language from aspects, actually includes the word can. So it has permissive language in the very claim element construed by aspects, and that case still gave the narrow construction. So that claim element, it's at page 1340 of the aspects decision, is magnetic members.
I get your position on that. That answer I don't find very convincing. Just assume I find configured to allow and adapted to permit under a traditional BRI analysis is not mandatory, and that a traditional BRI analysis would agree with them. It seems to me what they're saying in response to some of my questions is, even though it's clear you use single hand, this was intended to be single hand, it's not sufficiently disclosed that this can only be used with a single hand by the structure. It's just pure functional language, which is not enough. What's wrong with that argument?
Right. So I disagree. I do believe it is structural language, first of all. And I'd also point out the fact that if we're going to construe the words adapted to permit.
Can you just answer my question, though? I get you disagree with that. answer my question, assuming this, I don't think this is structural language, that you that normally without something more in the specification, I would read this more broadly. What in the specification is good enough to tie it down to your specific language beyond what I pointed to, which your friend says is purely functional language?
So it's the concavities that allow you to grip the handle with the middle pinky and ring finger. It is the protrusions on the handle that aid in the grip. We have the relative location of the handle opening compared to the other components, like the working device, the suction opening, the guide catheter. The suction opening itself, the second one, is also placed on the handle at a specific location.
So are you saying that all the structure there makes it impossible to use this device with one hand or two hands?
Does it render it impossible? I would say no, not impossible. Does it render it as claimed to be
sufficiently clear that you're only claiming one hand and that the broadest reasonable interpretation of this, what I find is permissive language, is still a single-handed device?
Correct, Your Honor.
Is it fair to say that it would render it dysfunctional if somebody was trying to use two hands on it during surgery?
Yes, I believe so. That was certainly the intent, was for it to be a single-handed use. That's in the title. It's in the technical field of the invention. It's repeated in the summary. And, of course, all of the descriptions of the preferred embodiments are for a single hand. And all of the figure four relative descriptions of the locations and distances.
It seems to me that the normal course of this invention, as it's described, is to allow the surgeon to use the other hand to do other things.
Correct.
And that I say it would render it dysfunctional because if the surgeon decided to use both hands, which would be quite difficult given the description, that it would make the surgery much more difficult to do since they'd have probably used their teeth for the scalpel.
Yes, the traditional way that it would happen is you'd have to have a scrub nurse helping you, and that makes it much more difficult because in a nasal surgery such as the one that the 412 patent applies to, you have to use an endoscope to be able to see up into the nasal cavity. So otherwise you're doing this blind, in which case you want to have one hand that's operating all of the instruments and another operating the endoscope so you can see where you are and see what you're operating on. And that, of course, is also described in the specification. We have the background talking about the two-handed device and having to shift devices back and forth between the two hands as compared to the single-handed device that is claimed in the 412 patent. If there are no other questions on that, I'd like to go back to this permissive language for a moment. We talk about the permissive language being in the claims and that somehow mandates this broader construction. As I mentioned, the aspects case has similar permissive language, can, in the very adapted to claim element. The narrow construction was still adopted. And in Gianelli, we have specification sites that are in the opinion itself that talks about the handle structure enabling a user to maintain biomechanical alignment and allowing for fairly consistent torque application at the shoulder. So there is permissive language in the Gianelli specification. In fact, I counted them up. There's 8 instances of the word allow as it relates to the claimed handle. There are 5 instances of the word enables, 1 instance of the word permit in the Gianelli specification. In that case, we still ended up with the narrow construction. So a permissive language in the specification is not controlling here. And, of course, this makes sense. There are lots of embodiments that are frequently described in the specifications. Not all of them are claimed. That's the script pro case that we mentioned in our red brief. So it is not always the case where every single bit and every single purpose of the invention has to be claimed. And, of course, of the very significant portion of the briefing by appellant, they only mention one case on this subject. It's eye for eye. And it does not stand for the proposition that permissive language somehow mandates a broader construction. So in eye for eye, first of all, there's no configured to, adapted to, permit, or allow claim language that was at issue. Instead, eye for eye simply stands for the purpose of unclaimed benefits of an invention not being read into the claims. And so this is a very distinct proposition than taking claim language and construing it to have a certain purpose or exclude a certain purpose. For that reason, we also believe it's inappropriate to mandate the broader construction just based on permissive language. And I'd also like to address the fact that if we're looking at this broader claim term now, configured to permit, adapted to allow, that claim construction was not presented to the board below, and it has been waived by the appellant here. So in the petition, we did not have any evidence or any request for a claim construction of the adapted to or configured to elements. And then the decision asked for such briefing. We provided our proposed construction of adapted to and configured to, and then in reply, we didn't see any definite construction from the appellant, and we got nothing at the IPR hearing that suggested we should be construing the words allow or construing the words permit, even though apparently now on appeal it is essential for us to do so. That was never anything that was discussed before the board below, in which case it would be inappropriate for us to take it up here in the first instance. That argument has been waived. Unless there are any questions on that, I'd like to talk about structure for just a moment.
Okay.
So we do believe that these claims recite structure. They are constructural when you consider all of the cases that we've cited. We have the Venezia case, which cites or claims sleeves adapted to be fitted over an insulating jacket. That court said that there's nothing wrong in terms of defining structure in terms of the interrelationship of components or attributes they must possess. Gianelli said that the location of the handle portion relative to other components provides the structural attributes that render it a structural limitation, not a functional limitation. And then the MMI, man-machine interface, and Ulrich cases that we've cited, to Your Honor, those adapted to elements were used to distinguish over the prior art, in which case they must have been structural in order for them to be used as distinguishing factors over the prior art. The cases hold so because they define the claims and the specification define how the parts are interconnected, show how they are structured and dimensioned. They show structural attributes of components, or they give the relative location of those components. And as I mentioned, the 412 does these very things. We have the adapted to language that tells us how the components are interconnected with the handle, handle opening, working device, suction control, etc. We have the relative dimensions and locations of components mentioned in Figure 4 in the related descriptions. And then we have the structural attributes that say the thumb and index finger are in close proximity to the openings and that there is easy motion of the thumb and index finger toward and away from the opening. And unless Your Honors have further questions,
thank you.
The waiver argument is belied by Appendix 2247 through 50. Both Venezia and Gianelli found in the specification structural relationships between components of the structure that was claimed by the invention. Here, you've got a relationship.
Give me those page numbers again. I'm sorry.
The waiver argument is belied by Appendix 2247 through 2250.
Thank you.
The Venezia and Gianelli cases are decided upon the disclosure of structural relationships between components. I've explained the structural relationships in Gianelli. In Venezia, it was two sleeves, one adapted to fit over the other, that performed the function. Here, we've got supposedly a functional description in the spec of how a user interacts with the device, not how structure of the device interacts. That's not a structural requirement. Let's look back at what this case is really about, because that's what puts it into perspective. This case, this court has five different ways of dealing with functional statements in apparatus claims. This is an apparatus claim. The board read it as if it was requiring a step in a method claim by requiring a specific recitation of function, contrary to N. Ray Schreiber. This court has instead said you look at statements of function in an apparatus claim either as a mere intended use, as capable of, and we argued the first two, as made to, designed to, or configured to, which requires a disclosure of structure either in the claim or in the specification. This court has also had configuration versus capability cases. Once again, in the cases that find configuration instead of mere capability, the court looks for a specific configuration that is discussed, And then this court has its Section 112, paragraph 6 cases. And in all of those cases, a critical component is what is the structure that's disclosed for performing the function, and where do you find it? Here, the only disclosure of that structure is in figures 3 through 5. That's where the board conceded at pages 9 and 10 of its opinion that one finds the structure. At paragraph 15, the board floundered around and discussed things that didn't disclose a structural relationship. They discussed how a user operates the device, an angle that was non-limiting, or a structural relationship that wasn't disclosed as far as where the structure was with relationship to these claim limitations. For example, they disclosed that the hole, the suction hole, had to be in line with the suction line in the device. Didn't say anything with where on the handle that would be placed. And what it did by doing that is it left all of those supposedly structural disclosures to a functional description. And that doesn't meet Gianelli, aspects, man-machine. And in fact, it doesn't meet the configuration of configuration versus capability cases, and it doesn't even meet the paragraph 112.6 standard either. So the bottom line is that we're not arguing that this device wasn't intended to be a one-handed device. The claim limitations, though, are what should be the focus of the analysis here. The board erred by first construing those limitations narrowly and then by not, in applying those, comparing the structure that identified for performing the functions, but instead looking for express recitation of the device being able to perform that function in the prior art. No line of the Federal Circuit's five different lines of cases applies that approach.
Thank you. We thank both sides, and the case is submitted.